Hold on, gentlemen.
Blog Talk Radio.
A new day show. I can't believe that we are almost towards the end of 2009, and I know that I'm looking for a magnificent 2010 and beyond. And because I want that for you, my listeners, as well, this is why this morning we have one of the most powerful lineup of experts on the show, and these experts have committed to investing their time with you so that come this time next year, 2010, you will have a testimony to give on how their investment has catapulted your career and your business. Of course, you are listening to the Queen of the Empowered Soul on the A New Day radio show. I want you to keep the lines busy this morning because we want to hear from you. The telephone number to call is 646-915-8166. And of course, you know this morning we will be addressing positioning for a relaunch in 2010 and beyond. We know that this past year there was a lot of finger pointing and passing the buck. I mean, why we couldn't do this and why we couldn't do that. So we know that that's water under the bridge now. So we want to invest in you. So come next year and beyond, you will no longer be pointing fingers. So I thank you for joining us this morning. And without any further delay, I want to welcome two of my distinguished experts who have been hanging here for a while. I want to welcome Dr. Ray Blanchard. Good morning, Dr. Blanchard. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you, Daphne.
Well,
good morning, audience.
Thank you so much for joining us. And Mr. Willie Crawford, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Daphne and Dr. Blanchard.
Good morning. And we are expecting Miss Cheryl Burchard to join us later on, and also Mrs. Kathy Holloway Hill. Gentlemen, I am just so excited to be spending time with both of you this morning, because I got to tell you, you are two of my favorite men.
Well, thank you.
And you both have invested so much in our lives as entrepreneurs and as small business owners, and you are also so very generous. This is both of yours second time on the show, and I thank you for that. I know you've been on the show before, so you just need to do a brief introduction. And why don't we start with you, Dr. Blanchard?
Yes. like me to tell you, but I got my start in the business of transformational work, education, years ago, 30 years ago. I finished my PhD work at the University of Oregon and happened to be recruited by a company that was doing public seminars at the time, and it was quite an opportunity for me, and I chose to go in that direction rather than opening up my private psychology practice, and the rest is history after that. And I've spent the last 30 years traveling around the world doing seminars and transformational education. I have owned a few companies and managed staff to do that work, public seminar work. And I've lived a few years in Japan and a few years in other parts of the world. And I've gained a lot of experiences, and I've been very blessed and very fortunate in doing so. And I try to model my life after the work that we teach, and we'll be glad to share a little bit of that with you this morning. And I'm sure Mr. Crawford will be doing the same. So that's me. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Blanchard. Mr. Crawford.
Yes.
Would you please tell the listeners a little bit about you?
Sure. My name is Willie Crawford. And I, after college, went into the military for 20 years, actually. And so I was in the Air Force for 20 years, where I traveled to about 47 different countries, learned to speak a little of five different languages, and yet my background in college education was in economics and in business, and so I always wanted to start my own business. And back in 1996, when I still had 6 years to go until retiring from the military, I started an internet-based business, and by the time I retired, it was at six figures, and I'd already spoken at several seminars and hosted a seminar myself. And after that, I tried a number of different online ventures and eventually ended up being a joint venture broker where I help people to launch products and projects. And I also work closely now with local offline businesses, teaching them how to leverage the power of the Internet. And I also teach online and offline businesses how to generate more leads, more customers using their website. Most offline businesses that have websites, they're more like just billboards or brochures, and they don't really do much for them. So I teach them to actually get traffic and visitors through their websites and track them and things like that.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. And I am glad that you both set up the conversation the way you did, because a lot of people hear this frequent use of the word multiple streams of income. And a lot of times, people tend to just categorize those under multi-level marketing. And since I started networking with you, Mr. Crawford, I have come to understand that there are so many other lucrative ways of creating multiple streams of income. And I can say the same thing for Dr. Blanchard, because he has affiliate programs that are available to everyone who is listening here this morning. So, again, I thank you both so much. Again, I want to remind the listeners that the telephone number that you will use to call in is 646-915-8166. And when you call, I would appreciate if you just address who your question is for. Right now, we only have Dr. Blanchard and Mr. Crawford on. I will let you know when the other two experts are here. Now, the topic or discussion we have here is positioning for a relaunch. And I thought about that because I said, you know, from I was like nay-high, I heard people talk about, New Year's resolutions. And over the years, I have witnessed many of those resolutions not lasting longer than the 3rd of January. And because of that, I said people don't need resolution. They need a plan that they work continuously during their career. And that's why I thought that this topic was a fitting one. Now, what is your take on the topic of how are some of the ways, what are some of the ways that we can position for a relaunch? And any one of you gentlemen can take it.
Well, I'll start it because I definitely want to hear what Willie has to say. I am very much interested in his topic as well, because I realize in the work that I've been doing for 30 years, and particularly since I've started in the last 2 years, redirecting a lot of my work towards internet and online services and offering transformational media through online mechanisms, I know that Willie has a lot to say about how to generate business rather than, as he said, just having your site be a billboard that really doesn't do very much. So you got to actually attract customers, and you got to have a greater online presence and offer products that are of value to people, for one thing. You got to be willing to give value, and you also got to have a way of attracting people to your site so that they can access it, because it doesn't matter what you have to offer if nobody knows how to access it. So I want to really hear a lot about what Willie has to say on that as we go. I'm definitely interested in that as well, because I, too, like many of you audiences who are already in business, would like to escalate your business and make it leap this year and not just have more of the same of what you had last year, no matter how successful you are.
And I
would like to maybe set a context for the whole conversation of relaunching with a little bit of the transformational philosophy.
Yes.
And then maybe Willie can add to that and then take us much further.
Right.
One of the things that I like to share, I share with you, Daphne, a little video clip that I thought was put together very well. Some clips of Will Smith, and he said a lot of things that we have all said, and he said them very succinctly. And I won't go through all of that, but some of the things that I think are worth highlighting are that people need to have a purpose, a clear purpose for what they're doing. And I would like to expand on that a little bit by saying that you got to remember that you're not in this world alone, and you won't succeed in your life and your business if you focus only on yourself. You got to be committed to giving something to other people, and you got to be willing to give value to people. Mm-hmm. And you also want to have your life be a life that matters. And the way you're going to have your life matters is that you're going to make the world a better place because you were in it. And if you make somebody else's life better, your life will be better as well. And the best way to do that would be to focus in on what is your compelling vision. What is your compelling dream? And always protect your dream and always get behind your own dream. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what that is just yet, because a lot of people struggle with that, what is my dream? What is my purpose? What am I here to do? Mm-hmm. I would say some clues would be to look at maybe 10 things that you love to do, and then list out 10 things that other people love about you, and start to write those down and then see what's in common about those things. And that will start to give you a clue about what it is, what your gift is to give people, your gift to give the world. or maybe look at what is your talent. Mm-hmm. But talent is not enough. Talent also needs skill development, because there are a lot of people with great talent who are lying by the wayside. So if you start with your talent or your gift or your passion, something you're passionate about, then you need to hone that with skills, and you need to practice. You know, a lot of people want to lay around and be successful with the easy street, but most success stories didn't come by easy street. They came by people working their talent while other people are asleep. So you got to work hard at what you do, and you start step by step. The other thing I would say to you is that no matter what it is that you vision and what you say you want, you've really got to believe that you can actually create that. Because if you don't believe it, you can't do it.
That's right. You won't.
You've
got
to believe it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And believe that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just stay with what is reasonable and what other people do. Because there are a lot of people who will tell you, be reasonable and be realistic.
And be logical.
Reasonable people get reasonable results. Unreasonable people will get unreasonable and unstoppable results.
And extraordinary.
Extraordinary results. So don't just be reasonable. Don't just be realistic. That's the road to mediocrity. Step out there and be bold. And look at what it is that you really want in your heart. And you really got to believe that that's possible. And for goodness sake, you've got your plan A, and a lot of people have a plan B, a backup plan. I would say forget the backup plan, because that's just a back door for you not to do your A plan. And it always distracts you from doing your A plan. So go for your A plan. Put your mind to it, and put your energy into it, and put it all on the table. Put your cards on the table, and really go for what you want this year. And know that as you think is where you usually go. So
that's
focus
right.
on what you really want. As a friend of mine used to say, energy flows where the mind goes. So focus in on what you really want, and discipline yourself to let go of the distractive things. Discipline yourself to continuously focus on where you're going, what are new possibilities, and know that you can achieve what you really, really focus on. So you got to really make a clear decision. I always say to people, decide specifically, positively, and clearly what you want. That is the beginning, because until you do that, you're going to be rambling all over the place.
That's right.
And once don't worry about your fears. You will have fears. Most people have fears, but people who achieve great things embrace those fears, and that becomes the source of more excitement for themselves. But if you just resist your fears or hold back because you're afraid and waiting to fear disappears, you'll never do what you are really able to do. So I would say embrace the fears, start doing more of the things that you're afraid of, and embrace that, and take your chances and really go for it. And once you do, there are some steps that I would suggest that you take to do that. And if we have time, I'll go through eight-step formula later.
Yes, I'll come back to that. And before I put Willie on, I just want to just highlight something you said there that it's just powerful and it's part of me. I want to point out to people that when they go networking in this coming year, don't focus so much on distributing cards, but focus on adding value to the person that you are networking with. Because It is by those means of adding value that you are going to be building yourself as you build somebody else. And the other thing when Dr. Blanchard mentioned about keep working at your craft, keep working at it. You know, too often people say they look at somebody and they don't even realize all the tedious hours that we put into what we're doing. And they often say, oh, no, they are lucky or they got overnight success. And your overnight success is going to be dependent on the amount of hours that you dedicate to. So thank you, Dr. Blanchard, for that. Mr. Crawford.
Yes.
Well, would you please go ahead?
Yes, and I enjoyed what Dr. Blanchard had to say. One of my favorite books actually is a book called Be Unreasonable by my friend Paul Lindbergh. And, you know, he points out that you actually should be quite unreasonable in what you expect out of yourself and others, and that's how you get those outstanding results. So I like that quite a bit. My background is that I grew up extremely poor. I was on welfare most of my youth, and that's a big part of what gave me the drive and determination to work my way through college and then on into business. And so nothing was handed to me on a silver platter, and so I appreciate what it takes to actually be a success, and it does take being an entrepreneur, which is what I am, makes us extremely rare too, because most people are unwilling to take the chances and step out on their own and be responsible for their own success. They'd rather work for someone else, and I'm not putting that down, but entrepreneurs are like in the 1% that are willing to step out on a limb and do what is necessary to make a difference and to be responsible for other people's lives, even, because they create jobs and things like that. I have numerous people who in the online world do work for me who 90% of their income is from what they do for me each month, and which amazes me at times, but it's sort of neat at the same time that so many people live off of the results of what I do. What I'm going to focus on, though, is joint ventures, which is basically two or more people working together to leverage their underutilized assets and make things happen. And so that'll be a part of what I'll focus on. And the other part is I'll focus on long-term website traffic generation techniques, that, you know, different ways to get more visitors to your website, because the reality is you can have the most beautiful website in the world, but if no one sees it, you're not going to make any sales. And so I'm going to share some of the techniques. I'll get more tactical, so I'll share some of the tactics I use to generate a steady stream of traffic, and I have websites that get more than a million hits a month, and so I'm quite proficient at generating visitors to websites. I'll go into some detail on various techniques I use for doing that during the course of the next hour and a half.
Yes, you can take some time now, Willie, and go into a little of that, maybe just set up about the advantages of doing that. I just want to give a fair amount of time. So you can speak on whatever portion you want to let them know now.
Okay. I guess I'll take joint ventures first. One of the things that I had to learn as I came into business online and started growing was that I'm not alone. I don't have to do things all by myself. In fact, I had to stop viewing all the other internet marketers as my competitors. I had to start looking at them as, even if they're selling something very close to what I'm selling, they're not my competitors. They're more potential joint venture partners who, after they sell whatever it is that they're selling, can then turn around and sell to their customers my products as back-end products. And I had to look at the fact that when someone takes on a new hobby, say, and they go to the magazine rack in a store to buy a magazine on that topic, they typically don't buy one. They buy a stack of magazines and a bunch of books on that topic. They really get into it. And so I had to realize that when I have customers that are interested in a certain topic, that it's okay to sell my competitors' products. And so as people look at pulling out of the recession and growing their business, they really need to consider who they can work with, who they can joint venture with, what other people in their industry can they do projects with? Can they cross promote when they sell one of their products and they have nothing else to sell their customers? Who else's product can they sell, perhaps as an affiliate, or maybe they sell someone's product after they sell their own product to the same customers, and maybe that person, after that person sells his primary product, turns around and sells their product. So it's looking for opportunities to do that. I see a lot of people in the internet marketing space in particular who they follow a pattern. They come online, they typically sell other people's products first as an affiliate, and then somewhere along the way they realize that if they created their own product and sold it, they'd make more money, and they'd have other people out selling their product too, so they decide to create and launch their own product. The problem is that as more and more and more people get into business online, and they're targeting the same customers often, especially in the how-to-make-money niche, some weeks I'll notice a dozen different competing launches, and they're all trying to get the attention of the same core group of customers, and because they depend upon large list owners to email their list and tell their list about these product launches, they're all competing for the same, we call them super affiliates, which is just an individual who can sell a lot more product than your typical affiliate. And so what I see happening in 2010, and I saw it in 2009 too, is more product launches than ever, and so there'll be certain weeks when if you're subscribed to certain newsletters and certain issues, you'll just be bombarded with new people telling you about new products. And one thing I encourage people to do, first of all, is when you get all these emails about these new products, stay focused. You don't need to run off and buy the newest shiny trinket. If you've already worked out a plan of how you're going to get from point A to point B, don't get sidetracked and run off and try something new, because you need to stick with your plan. So stay focused. And so to the extent you need to ignore the product launches if you're on the customer side. But if you're a product owner, you need to look at what we call integration marketing. You need to look at how you can dovetail and work your product launches in concert with other people's product launches. And next month I'll be on a cruise with 420 marketers or so going down into the to Mexico and South America, Central America. And we'll be on the ship, the days at sea, we'll be networking. We'll be asking each other, what products and projects are you working? What do you have coming out 6 months from now? And I will be looking for opportunities to, when I think joint ventures, I think, how can I become a part of this person's product even? If someone is launching a product or creating a product that touches on a topic that I'm an expert on, I want them to interview me and put me in the product so that they can sell me as they sell their product, and vice versa. I want to add value to their product. So regardless of what niche you're in, whether it's personal development or health and fitness or marketing or network marketing, whatever, you need to look for ways to work with other people. And if it's people creating products, you need to look and see, can you become a part of that product? And if you're creating your own product, what you also want to do is notice who the industry leaders are, especially the ones with the large list, if you're an email marketer, and somehow involve them in the process of creating the product, because what that does is that creates a sense of ownership. They want to see that product successful because they're in it, because when that product is successful, it builds them. And so you want to look for that too. You want to look for synergy. You want to look for how can you work together. And again, when I first started online, I was a lone wolf. I thought if my customers buy from you, they have no money left to buy from me, and therefore you're not going to get access to my customers. Now I realize that, for one thing, if you're a relative unknown, you're better off creating something in a group effort. When someone looks at a website and they see you and they don't know who you are, the first question is, who is this person and what makes them an expert? Just the fact that there's a group, four or five, however many people on the web page, adds credibility, adds it makes you more trustworthy.
Yes.
They're not risking just trusting one individual and their expertise. There's a whole group of people who who bring different talents, you know. And that's another part of joint venturing is, again, if you're suffering from the recession and don't have a lot of money and you wanted to create some product, say, as a computer program, maybe you want to partner with I as a marketer may want to partner with a programmer and a copywriter and people with other skills, and we split the money. That way I don't need a lot of money to get the project going, and all of the other people involved have an investment, a reason to want the product to succeed, and so they're going to work harder at it and just, you know, put a lot more effort into it. So I like group efforts myself. I like products created in a group, and it just makes things so much easier.
Yes. You know, Willie, I thank you for that, because you mentioned synergy. You know, we need to start looking 1 and 1 as 11 versus 2. And, you know, that is, that system is so comfortable for men. You know, women, I notice a lot of women, you mention the word joint venture to them now, and they get so scared and so protective of, it's like a little toddler with the toy, you know, it's mine. And now, this is the time where we need to put it out there and say, come share, because if we are looking to grow and to expand, we definitely will not be able to do it as lone rangers.
Right. Now, the men and women do behave differently in business. I mean, there are women who are as aggressive as men, but what I've noticed is that men are more competitive, and women are more nurturing. And so as I watch interactions, particularly in the internet marketing niche that I'm in, and I go to seminars and conferences, I speak a lot, I notice that, you know, the women aren't as aggressive. And that in itself often locks them out of being invited into partnerships. Their partners want people who are, like, ultra-aggressive. And you, if you go around the internet marketing seminars and conferences, you'll notice fewer women speaking. The reason for that is that most seminar hosts are looking at how much money they can make from sales during the course of the seminar. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the men are just more aggressive salespeople who just push harder. And so the women tend to sell less unless they're rare exceptions. And that's why you see that. But at the same time, women, many women are very effective and better salespeople. You know, so I don't want to make generalizations. I'm just saying that there are people tend to bond with people that they think are like them. I mean, it's just natural. And so, you know, because we understand those people, and so that's who we want to work with. And that's why you can get locked out of certain deals unless you understand who it is you're dealing with and how they think. So you need to study human behavior, too.
So that's right. Thank you, Willie. Well, we have a caller. Your first three digits are 614. Are you one of the experts, or you are a guest calling in? Good morning. Do you have a question, or are you one of my experts? Are you just listening? I guess they are just listening, so I'll put them back on mute. Okay. All right. So let's go back to Dr. Blanchard, and then we'll come back to Mr. Crawford.
Okay.
Because we still haven't got the other two listeners calling in. And in the meantime, I'm going to be checking the chat room to see whether or not there are any questions in the chat room. Yes. So we're hearing about joint ventures and partnership. We're hearing about some of the behaviors that we can use to add value and to make sure we are becoming as successful as we deserve to be. So as we listen to both experts, there is no one way It's a combination of way. It is a system that each of us as entrepreneurs and small business owners need to utilize. And now, I have not heard any of the experts tell us that we need to be able to know how to do all of these things. And this is why this is important that you listen, that you don't have to know how to do it all, because there are others out there who you can partner with or who can coach you into getting the result that you so deserve. So I hope you're listening, and I hope you're taking notes. Dr. Blanchard.
Yes.
Where would you like to pick up?
Well, I'd like to tailgate on what Willie has shared with us and give a couple of examples, and then I'll give a couple of tips on how to organize yourself for a successful launch. But one thing I really listened to Mr. Crawford is saying is joint venture partnerships is something that I've been focusing on as well for the last couple of years. I did a movie, The Answer to Absolutely Everything, and it was really launched right after the movie The Secret. And it's in the same genre, and I think at first I was a little bit competitive, thinking that either people would buy The Secret or they would buy my movie, The Answer, because of the same subject matter. And I was shortly after that invited into an organization of transformational leaders, the Transformational Leadership Council, in which there were a number of the producers and makers of The Secret in the council. So here I was right in the midst of all of them, and they with me. And I found that, as Mr. Crawford has just said, we didn't all have to do it all by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now I find that I'm promoting The Secret and talking about The Secret as I talk about The Answer.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people who are stars in the movie The Answer, which has made in The Secret, which has made a lot of money and a lot of customers around the world, are panelists and speakers at my super seminar. I do a super seminar twice a year, in which I feature people like Mr. Crawford or people from The Secret, people who have some particular value to offer people. And what we do is we each have a couple of hours on stage, and they sell their product on the back end of the presentation. And what we do is we split what they make. So I put together a seminar and maybe get investors to put the seminar on, as Mr. Crawford has said, because I didn't want to put all of my investment on the table to do it. So people have invested in and putting that together with me, and then I've got these speakers who come on stage and they sell products, and we all end up splitting the profits from all of that. So you don't have to do it alone is one of the great things that he has said. And shortly after that, I set up my affiliate program on my website, and a number of those same people actually promote and have become affiliates, like you, Daphne, on my website, and I am also an affiliate on a number of their websites.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as we start heading towards the Super Seminar, their database and my database combined are a lot of people who are then being exposed to the Super Seminar because these people are going to be in it. So you don't have to do it alone, as he said, and I'm really, really fond of this joint venture possibilities for people.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of which joint venture you become a part of, or whether you're going to do the lone wolf routine, I'd say there are several steps that I'm advocating that people do starting at the beginning of the year to make your year a successful one. And I call it organizing yourself for success.
Yes.
And there are 8-step formula I use to do this. And you don't have to get stuck on the formula, but just see if you can understand the 8 points. The first one is envision the result you want. So envision is the key to that. So number one, envision. What's the result you want? So you start with the vision. You start with the future. Step into the future. And where do you want it to end up? So you got to visualize and envision this future, a compelling future that you want, and that you want to create and make it as specific as possible, as clear as possible, and as definitive as possible. And once you've done that, then you need to step back and set up the categories that would have that vision be manifested, the categories of activities that you must do in order to have that vision manifest. There might be 3 or 4 categories of activities that are must-dos. So what are those categories, major categories? And within those maybe 2, 3, 4 major categories, the third point is, what are the specific tasks you must perform in order for each of these categories to be fulfilled? So you break the categories down into tasks. And what are the steps, the to-dos that must be accomplished in order for the categories to be fulfilled? And then the categories make sure that the vision is fulfilled. And then once you set up the tasks, the fourth thing would be to sequentialize them. Sequentialize the tasks and the categories in some sort of order so that one leads to the next, or things that must be done in order for the next thing to be done. So put them in a sequence. And once you've done the sequentializing them, then transfer them over to a game plan. That's step 5. So game plan it. Put in start dates, due dates, time estimates. So plot them onto a calendar. What that does is that it organizes them in time so that you can day to day and week by week actually walk through a simplified sequence so that you can make sure that you're doing them. A lot of people don't do that. They write everything on a piece of paper or they hold it in their head, and you don't want to hold it all in your head. You want to clear your brain so that you can use your brain for other things. So if you put them on a game plan, then that takes it out of your head and it puts it right in front of you, and in a day-by-day basis, you can just organize yourself to do those things. And the sixth thing is to identify any obstacles that may be in your way. What would block you or keep you from accomplishing any of those tasks or any of those categories and ultimately your vision? And come up with a way to solve the obstacles. So what are the obstacles and what are some of the solutions to resolve those obstacles? So get that handled. And the seventh step is set your schedule day first by week and then by day and put it into your system so that you do it every day. So get yourself a day timer or planning system of some kind so that you can use that as your Bible, use that as your guide. And the last thing I would say is discipline. make sure that you actually keep your word. Make sure you actually stay focused on what you said you would do and do it every day. And if you keep doing that every day, you are going to reach your destination. So those are some simple steps that I would say to people to do on an ongoing basis. And if you want to have an audio on that, you can get my CD on that on my website, Organize Yourself for Success. And you can get that at rayblanchard.com. That way you can start and stop, and we explain it to you in each of those 8 steps in detail, and you can start and stop and make sure that you understand everything and make sure that you got it right.
All right. Thank you so much. Mr. Crawford,
yes.
I don't know if you want to give any feedback on what Dr. Blanchard just said. And then afterward, I would like for you to tell us, for those of us who have never done joint venture, how do we start?
Okay. As far as the feedback for what Dr. Blanchard said, I only made one note. He was talking about discipline. Many of us who are solo entrepreneurs, if we work for a boss, the boss would give us deadlines and would constantly check on us, and a lot of us don't have anyone that makes us do anything, and so we tend to procrastinate. And what I teach, I have a private membership site where I coach people too. I teach people to use an accountability partner. And so the accountability partner is someone that you check in with weekly or even every day, and you cover what it is that you plan on doing that day, and the accountability partner sort of holds your feet to the fire and doesn't accept excuses and is the person that pushes you forward. And, if you don't do what you say you were going to do, you're letting your accountability partner down, and that may end the relationship. At the same time, if you're in a joint venture relationship or partnership, you are letting your partner down if you don't hold up your end of what you're supposed to be doing. So that in itself can also, pressure you to stick on target. In fact, I work with lots of people who take forever to finish a project, and I often will force them to partner with someone because the partner is what will make them follow through to completion, and I see a lot of that.
Right. That's a great point. And if you find that you got an accountability partner, you really need to make sure that that's a partner that you are going to be invested in, and they're going to be invested in you as well. So get yourself a partner that is going to be a workable relationship. And I love that idea, accountability partner. I used to have an accountability partner where we supported each other like that. And if we ever didn't do something that we were going to do, we paid penalties, we paid prices. We set up a little game for ourselves that we paid penalties and prices. Maybe it was going to be something you're going to donate something to someone, or do a service to someone, or charity or something. But we had little penalties if we didn't do what we said we were going to do to keep it more fun and to keep us on track at the same time. But I love this idea of an accountability department. It works.
And another way that I also force myself to follow through on projects since I work for myself is I often publicly announce things. I announce that I'm going to have a project finished by a certain date or have a product available on the market by a certain time. And then I know that if I don't follow through, I'm embarrassed, so that keeps me on target too.
That's a good one.
Okay, gentlemen, if you would please allow me to just welcome the people in the chat room. And we have people from as far over as Scotland in the chat room. So I'm super excited about that. I thank the people for coming. Everybody there is enjoying the show. And I'm letting them know that whenever they have a question, they can type it. I will repeat the question, or they can call in on the line. So thank you guys in the chat room for being part of this. I thank you very much. So back to you, Mr. Crawford.
Okay. The other thing I was going to touch on was in joint ventures, a lot of times when you're going out a lot of the joint ventures I do are that I coordinate for my clients are really going out and finding joint venture partners that are willing to promote my clients' products. And the difference between that and a regular affiliate relationship is a joint venture partner typically gets a greater compensation somehow. Maybe they get a reciprocal promotion or they get a higher than normal commission. But I go after joint venture partners who normally wouldn't just sign up as affiliates for a regular commission. They have so many other options that they could other things they could be doing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them actually have their own products they could be promoting. So what I have to do and what you have to do in seeking partnerships with these people is answer the what's in it for me question. You know, you have to answer, they want to ask you these questions, but you have to tell them, explain to them why they would want to promote your product over their own product if they have their own products, and why they would want to promote your product over competing products. And the answer really has to be that it's in the best interest of their customers, that they'll look good to their customers, that they'll profit in the long run, although a lot of the people that I work with aren't as really interested in the money as in putting the best interest of their customers forward. And so if I have a product and you come to me want me to promote your product, you've got to explain to me why I would promote your product over mine and put mine on the shelf for a while. That's a question I probably want to ask you directly, but you need to answer it anyway. And it mm-hmm. needs to be that it's in the best interest of my customers and somehow it's going to work out better in the long run. So mm-hmm. it's one of those questions that a lot of people that I work with in the internet marketing space, a lot of people with large lists, with busy websites and great reputations, those are all assets. You approach them and you ask them if they'll promote your product. A lot of them will say yes and fully intend to, but won't follow through. So they tend to overcommit to. And so you need to make it really, really easy for them to follow through. And you need to give them some really, really compelling reason, again, to follow through. That's
So here again, we're hearing about the back to adding value, you know, because you're probably approaching them thinking that, oh, well, I'm going to give you a 50% profit split. And that's not what is engaging to them. Adding value to their customers is what they're looking for. So
right.
Thanks for sharing that.
Well, a lot of people that would have, say, you may know, if you're in the personal development industry, you may know someone who, you may think somebody like Joe Vitale or Bob Proctor, I'll do a joint venture with them. And what a lot of people don't realize is that they're approached almost every day and asked to promote something. So I encounter a lot of product owners who create something and don't realize how busy the people are that they're approaching. And they think that they're all they're almost with blinders on, focused on their product, and they're so in love and enthralled by their product, they don't think of what's happening in the rest of the world, that these people they're approaching have their own products and have dozens of people approaching them, and that they're not the only one, that these people aren't just sitting and waiting for you to come to them and say, here, sell my product, and I give you, 30, 40, 50%. Mm-hmm. They aren't waiting for you to do that. They already have lots of things on their plate, so you've got to answer that unexpressed objection of why and mm-hmm. why should I put my projects on hold for yours?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So go back again to, a lesson that we all learn when we enter into the entrepreneurial arena is how can you set yourself above the competition? What sets you apart? So if you know all these lessons that you are learning here this morning, adding value, synergy, and all of that, then you will be equipped to enter into the big leagues, because these guys that Mr. Crawford just mentioned, these are people in the big leagues, and they're looking for more than money.
Yes, they're looking at how is this going to affect my relationship with my customers, my followers. They're really asking, What are my customers going to think about me having told them about this product a year from now? So all those type of questions that are unexpressed but have to be answered.
Yes, because, these people, and I know from talking to you, Willie, these people spent years to build these relationships. And just like they spend years in these relationships, there is a value attached to those relationships from their point of view. And if they enter into a discredited relationship or anything like that, it takes 2 minutes for them to lose that relationship.
Right. Their most valuable asset often is the list and the trust that they have with those list members, and they're not going to do anything to risk that, but every now and then they make mistakes and they still promote products they shouldn't be promoting, things like that. But they're very protective of their databases, as they should be, because they spend a lot of time developing those lists.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to just chime in on that,
mm-hmm.
because that's one of the big concerns that I have, and that's one of the big concerns that the people he just mentioned have. You know, the Transformational Leadership Council, which I mentioned, that's who's in that council, Joe Vitale and Bob Proctor and Jack Canfield, and a number of us are all in this council together. So we'll be together in Puerto Rico in a few weeks for about 5 days together. Mm-hmm. And there'll be about 100 of us. Stephen Covey may be there and a few others. We'll all be looking at each other's products. And one of the things that we're all concerned about is protecting our own databases. We don't want, first of all, our database to be subjected to someone that doesn't have a quality product, because that doesn't bid well for us. It reflects back upon us. So we don't want that, first of all. And secondly, we don't want our database to be mined like a minefield and spammed. That's one of the other things that has become a very touchy subject in the last year or two, where we've all been sharing databases with each other. And because a lot of the people have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in their database. And, you know, if you get people in their database coming to your site and giving you their email addresses, then you don't want to turn around and spam those email addresses and cast a bad light upon Jack or some of the other people who've given you the privilege of using their database. So that's a really important part of to remember, is that these people, as Mr. Crawford has said, are not just sitting out waiting for you to come as if your product was the only one that that they've been waiting for. All of us have got people coming to us all the time, and all of these people do. So your product's got to be good, for one thing, add value, and you've got to be credible yourself, and you've got to be with good ethics, internet ethics.
Okay, Mr. Crawford, there is a question in the chat room for you. What are the legal steps to form in a joint venture, tax-wise? What should I do?
Well, the legal steps are, I won't give the legal steps, but what you want to do is you want a document that states what's expected of each party in the agreement, typically, because it's so easy for misunderstandings to develop. You know, you may like the person that you're forming this joint venture with. You may not want to insult this person, but you still need to get everything in writing. Who will do what? Who will handle the money? Who will set up websites? Who will deliver the product? Percentages, splits. All those things need to be covered, as well as under what circumstances will the joint venture be, may it be dissolved? Under what circumstances is it maybe scheduled to end naturally? Because with a lot of joint ventures, things don't always go as expected. Maybe the market just doesn't buy the product for some reason, or lots of things change. And so you need all that in writing. As far as taxes are concerned, you need to make sure you comply with tax laws. And I like setting up LLCs so that liability from that partnership doesn't bleed over into other activities, other businesses I have. And depending on the type of LLC that you set up, the money could pass directly to the partners, where it just fits in with a normal tax flow rather than a separate entity that's responsible for paying its taxes. So the LLC may not be an entity that's responsible for paying taxes. Rather, the taxes pass directly through to the individuals who handle them in their individual circumstances. You know, you can set up a corporation where the corporation is responsible for taking care of taxes and then passing income. But there's so many legal structures you can set up there that I won't get into that. I'll just say that you want to make sure you comply with tax laws, and you want to look at structuring your partnerships, if that's what you're setting up, so that if something goes wrong, say you set up a partnership and a customer buys a product and sues because of the results they got from it, you don't want that to impact other businesses you're in, so you want to set it up so that you protect your other activities. And to me, that's typically some type of a limited liability entity.
Okay.
I mean, I have friends that lawyers who, I mean, their house is a separate legal entity, and their car is a separate legal entity. So if someone trips and falls in their house, you know, it doesn't impact the rest of their assets, you know.
Yeah, there's somebody else that said in the chat room, I had my email hacked with spam, and my contacts were contacted with illegal solicitation. How do I stop this in the future?
You need to make sure that your email database is secure and not give anyone the password. So when this person said their email was hacked, I guess I would wonder how it was hacked. I mean, I have huge databases, and they're stored on secured servers where I and my staff are the only ones that have passwords to them. And those passwords are forced to be changed regularly, and the passwords are not just a name or something that a computer program could break, but they're uppercase and lowercase and numbers and a combination of special characters so that it's almost impossible to guess the password.
Okay.
And, you know, so it's taken those security measures, first of all, but even with that, even major corporations, every now and then will have an account hacked into. You just take the precautions that you can, but nothing is foolproof. But a strong password is probably one of the best things you can do, and then changing it frequently.
Okay. All right. So that's all. There's no more questions for right now in the chat room. And I thank you all for giving us your questions. And so we are going to go back now into our conversation and when I identify other questions. But I want to remind the listeners the number to call. We only have 57 minutes remaining. The telephone number to call is 646-915-8166. And I am hoping to have the other two experts calling in. They did confirm that they will be here. I know they live in L.A., so I don't know what time L.A. people wake up. So.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock there now in the morning, but they should be up.
Yeah, they should be up having their green tea. So I'm praying that they will call in. So Dr. We heard from Mr. Crawford last, so we are back to Dr. Blanchard.
Yes.
I didn't think I thank you for the list of 8 points that you gave us to help us organize ourselves for success and for this relaunch. So I want to thank you for that. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I was just listening to Mr. Crawford's sharing on LLCs, and I would just support that as well. I usually set up LLCs for the different partnerships that I'm in, as Mr. Crawford was saying. That keeps it from one thing bleeding into the other thing,
right,
or any liabilities for any other business. And also, an LLC has a protective veil, as they say, that protects you from your other assets from that particular enterprise that you're setting up with a partner. And also in terms of paying your taxes with an LLC, as he said, you can pay those taxes as each individual paying their own taxes. So you don't have to worry so much about that.
Okay.
So that's a good protection. And,
good.
That's all I said about that.
I wanted to add to that. He talked about the veil. They talk about piercing a corporate veil. What you don't want to mix your personal with your business expenses, because if you ever get into a lawsuit or whatever, and they see that you're paying your, you know, you're paying personal expenses off of a business account or whatever, then the lawyers are going to somehow say they weren't a separate entity and therefore they're all one, and we can take all your house and your car and everything else because you didn't treat it as a separate business or real business.
Good point. I'm interested to know more about long-term traffic streams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead. You are reading my mind, Dr. Blanchard.
and that was what I wanted to touch on next. I have, even back in 1996 when I first started, I noticed that without traffic to your website, nothing happens. And getting traffic to a website is all about people following links from other places to your website. That's all it really is. And so to me, traffic generation is you can buy traffic, but organic traffic or free traffic is people following links. And so my favorite methods of getting traffic, I have a number of them, but the one I've used the longest is creating content. I create articles. I do short videos. I write press releases. Like Daphne, I host my own radio show. This is all content that's out there that does a number of things. One is it points to me. The other one is it builds my credibility, which is incredibly important because on the Internet, people are skeptical. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to put my credit card number into some web page and people are going to steal all my money. And so they don't trust you. They're afraid. And you need to build credibility. And one way to do that is to be very visible and to prove that you're an expert. I do that by writing articles. I've written over 1,500 articles in the last dozen years. And those articles showcase my knowledge and showcase my expertise. And then I publish those articles across a variety of websites, and I submit them to article directories that let you publish your content, and I give other people permission to syndicate my content. And a lot of that is designed to help me rank high in the search engines for certain keywords, but it's designed to position me as an expert on a topic, and it's designed to just build credibility. But I also write a lot of articles to sell products directly. I'm an amateur copywriter. I've only been doing it for a dozen years. So while people read my articles and they go, wow, that was really good, what they don't realize is that it's actually copywriting. I use several formulas I use for writing articles. I use one called the Problem Agitate Solution Formula, which is a copywriting formula where you describe, you don't talk about your product that you want to sell. You don't talk about yourself. You talk about a problem that your reader has. That's the problem. And then you agitate by pointing out that, you know, this really is a problem and why it's a problem and why if they don't do anything about it, it's only going to get worse. And then the solution is you point to your product as the last thing in the article. And you, my friend Michael Fortin, who's a copywriter, he always says that implication is better than specification. So you want to lead people to the conclusion that your product is what they need rather than telling them. You don't say, go buy my product. It's going to solve your problems. You maybe point out options, and your product is one of those options. Maybe the only one you mentioned. That's one of my formulas for writing articles that works extremely well. Again, being a copywriter, I often write articles that I wrote one recently. I'm not very active in network marketing, but I'm in one company that sells greeting cards. And they sell them cheaper than you can buy them at Walmart, so I like the product. But I wrote an article that basically said what to look for in a network marketing company that will be profitable, and I listed like 10 criteria.
Mm-hmm.
That article, is classic copywriting, because what you do when you're writing copy and you tell somebody, maybe if I were a chiropractor or a dentist, I might write an article, what to look for when choosing a dentist. Mm-hmm. And I would list things that I met the criteria for, but many other people don't, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're setting up, and that's the way I did with this article. I described things to look for in a network marketing company, like I said, you know, one of a certain age, one where they don't make most of their money from selling supplies to distributors, you know, things like that. But things that my company that I was going to recommend in the article, and I'd recommended it in the resource box, mm-hmm. that they would meet that criteria. So it's an article, but it's really an advertisement. But
right.
it's not recognizable as such, because people read that article and they sent me email saying, that was really good. You know, you hit on all the points and all the things that's important to look for in a company.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and so it works. And then I distribute those articles. I use an automated piece of software called Easy Push Button Traffic
mm-hmm.
because you realistically, there are only a handful of article directory sites that will generate the majority of the traffic for you out there. I mean, there's thousands of article directory sites, but
mm-hmm.
many of them get like zero hits, you know, zero visitors.
Right.
So you want to focus on the ones that are going to give you the traffic, and there are certain ones that will do that. And so you can spend all day going around and visiting these sites and submitting your articles to the site, or you can use software that you upload to the software and you tell it submit to these certain sites, and it does that. That's how I do that.
Okay. Willie, this leads us into another question for you.
Okay.
What qualities and expertise do I look for in a person to start a joint venture?
I do a lot of networking in person, and the reason I do that is because I actually like to look the person in the eye and get a feel for them. I mean, there are cultural differences. There are countries where it's considered rude to look someone in the face and or in the eye. And so you have to understand those cultural differences. But I trust my instincts. And so
mm-hmm.
I mentioned I'll be on this cruise starting on the 9th. I'll be sitting at tables and talking to people and getting a feel for it. Do I really want a business relationship with this person? And if something makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, I'm not going to get into a business relationship with that person.
Mm-hmm.
There's also nothing wrong with asking for references and actually calling those references or checking those people out. I tend to look for someone where it's easy to check them out. And because I'm in the internet marketing space, I ask someone, you know, how long have you been in business and what is your expertise? And then I can check that out. There's a site called the Wayback Machine or Internet Archives. It's
mm-hmm.
at archive.org. And you can actually type in a web address, a URL, and it will show you pictures of what that website looked like. It goes through the internet and takes pictures of websites, some websites, every month. And so if
mm-hmm.
someone says to me, I've been in business for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I should be able to go to that site and find their website 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with checking out someone if you're going to get into a business relationship with them. Ask
That's
for
right.
references and actually email or call those people. You can go to a website and a person could have all kinds of glowing testimonials on the website from people who
mm-hmm.
Wrote nice things about them.
Mm-hmm.
Contact some of those people and ask them, you know, about the relationship.
Right.
If something went wrong in that relationship, if they were later on unhappy with that product or whatever, or the customer service, they'll tell you. So contact testimonials on websites. Check the people out before you get involved. If you're investing a lot of money or time or whatever into a joint venture,
mm-hmm.
check them out.
That's right. Dr. Blanchard, I know you are not yet into a lot of joint ventures. However, over your many years and as many countries that you have worked in, you have forged some relationships. And what are some qualities that you look for? Dr. Blanchard?
Yes.
Okay.
I was on mute there. Yes,
okay,
the same as what Mr. Crawford was just saying, is look them in the eye. A firm handshake and a good look in the eye does a lot for you. And mm-hmm. what I always make a practice of doing is sitting down and just talking with people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can let a person talk, you got to listen. Mm-hmm. And what I listen for is this person in any kind of dramas? First of all, I don't want to get involved in any major dramas.
Mm-hmm.
Does a person seem to know what they are doing? Or are they looking to me to ride on my back?
Mm.
If they're looking to me to carry them or looking for me to make them successful, they show up to me as too needy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get involved with somebody who's overly needy
mm-hmm.
or who doesn't seem to have a smooth operation. I don't want to be involved with somebody who's got a lot of dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing is if a person is overly promoting themselves, it leads me to a lot more suspicion.
Yep.
And that's when I want to follow the same kind of advice that Mr. Crawford has just given.
That's
which
right.
is to follow up on some of their references and some of the testimonials that they have given. And that's one of the other things that I always do.
Okay. I have a call, and I want to see whether it's one of my experts or of a guest. Your last three digits caller is 3133. Are you listening, or you are one of my experts?
I'm listening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for replying. Enjoy the show. If you have
thank
a question, please raise your hand. Okay. So we are moving right along. We have 43 minutes remaining in this episode. And I was expecting a surprise mystery guest. And I am not sure whether the guest will be able to call in because he is traveling overseas. And at the same time when I am having the show is when he was scheduled to speak. However, he did not want to miss the opportunity, and he was going to try to call in. If he doesn't, then we'll excuse him, but I'm still not going to disclose who the guest was because I sure would have him on at another time as a surprise guest. So if he comes on, I will let you know. So we keep checking the chat room if there are any questions. And, oh, thank you. There's someone in the chat room that says this is great information. So thanks to all my experts. There are other a radio talk show host on here in the chat room, and they too are enjoying it because we are all looking forward for a powerful relaunch in 2010 and beyond. So thank you all for your kind remarks to my experts. So back to Mr. Crawford or Dr. Blanchard.
Okay, I'll continue. When I talked about creating content, when I write an article, I look at, I've done the research to write this article, or I pull something out of my background. Then I ask, how can I reuse this content, and rather than having to go out and just create something new? And I'll often take an article and turn it into an audio by basically reading or talking about the topic, so, and I can post that to my website or to sites that allow you to submit audios online. And the key there is when you submit to these sites, you get to enter a title and a description, which is what the search engines read, and that helps people to find your audio. It also puts it on places like iTunes, so even people driving to work or on a train or whatever can listen to your program. And so I take most of my articles and turn them into podcasts. I'll often take an article and turn it into a press release. I'll take the headline and I'll see what about it is newsworthy, and I'll submit those to press release sites. And the beauty there is that the search engines realize that breaking stories are usually show up on the press release sites first. So they are constantly reading what's on press release sites and showing that in the search engine database. So you can write an art, you can submit a press release to a leading press release submission site, and within an hour or two, type in maybe a phrase, a keyword that relates to your topic, and see that it's like number one at Google. Press release sites are that powerful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I take that same content often and turn it into a video. If I've got an article, 10 ways to do something or whatever, I'll take each of those ways and put it on a PowerPoint slide, and then I'll use a program called Camtasia, which is a screen capture program. Mm-hmm. As you're clicking through your slides and you're talking, the program is recording both the slide and your audio, and at the end you save it and you have a video, and I upload that to sites like YouTube. Again, when I upload it, I enter the title and a description, and it's the description that helps people who are interested in that topic to find you. If you go to a search engine like Google, which is the number one search engine right now, and you type in a phrase related to your area of expertise, you'll notice that quite often near the very top it'll show you videos first or up near the top. And that's because the search engines have grown to realize that a lot of people, when they're searching online, would rather just watch a video on a topic than to read about it. And so they have started listing videos higher in the search engine results than they have articles and other types of content. So anyway, I take content I've created, an article, and I submit it to press release sites and podcasts and as video, and I'll even often take an article that I've written and save it as a PDF file. There are sites online that are like repositories, whatever you call them, for scholarly documents or whatever, and they let you upload your PDFs so that other people can read them. The thing is, I guess at one time universities in particular saved important documents and research papers and things like that as PDFs, and as they opened up some of their files, some of the libraries, to the search engines, and search engines started indexing this material, they started assuming that if a document was a PDF, that it was more important, more relevant than a lot of other content out there. So at one point, they ranked PDF documents higher than regular web pages. And while that's not totally true anymore, what I'm really doing is I'm saying, okay, I've spent the time to write this article, so why not turn it into four or five different formats and upload them all to the Internet so that I have all these links, all these signposts pointing back to me and my site, which is going to bring in the traffic. And I use automated submission software to submit the videos, the podcasts, the press releases, and the articles. I manually upload PDFs to certain sites. And the thing about putting your content on websites to let you do that is the search engines rank your site by how many other sites are pointing to your site. That's one factor. But another factor is, who is it that's pointing to your site? You know, it's like getting a recommendation. Is it just the guy on the street, the street sweeper, pointing to your site and saying, you know, recommending your store? Or is it, you know, the mayor or the dean of the university? And so certain sites have a higher authority. And, you know, if you get a link from CNN.com or whatever recommending you, they rank that very high. So if you use Google, Google has a toolbar that shows what's called page rank, where they actually rank each page and grade it from 0 to 10, 10 being the highest. And the typical page, when it first starts out, maybe be a 1 or a 2, and it takes sometimes tons of links or years to make 3 or 4, and it's exponential from there. So what you're looking for is really links from high page rank sites pointing to you. One high page rank site linking back to you could equate to hundreds of low page rank sites. It's again like having a congressman recommend you for a job over having your cousin recommend you for a job.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Willard. There are two questions here, and I'm going to pose the second one to both of you, but this is the first. No, this the first one I'm posing to both of you. The question is, how do you discover good keywords?
You want to ask yourself, what would an individual looking to take whatever action it is that you want them to take enter into the search engine? You know, that you one way to do it is to, there's a tool called the Google External Keyword Tool. That's the Google External Keyword Tool, and you can just look that up. And what that is it shows, if you use the Google search engine and you look off to the right side of the page, often you'll see little ads, little four-line ads. Those ads are ads that people are paying money for. They're paying to have the ad displayed, and each time that someone clicks on one of those ads, they pay for that click. They pay for that click-through. It's called pay-per-click advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, a person wouldn't pay to advertise on a certain term unless when someone clicked through to their site, then they had to pay for that click. They wouldn't continue paying for that unless they were making money back from it. So
right.
The Google Keyword Tool shows how many people are bidding on certain words, and that's an indicator that that word is profitable. And so you go to the Google External Keyword Tool, and you enter a phrase that you think would be a good phrase to describe your product or service, and it'll show you related phrases, and it'll show you how many pages out there are targeting that phrase, and it'll give you a little green bar indicating, you know, how strong that phrase is, basically. That's the best way, probably the best way to choose keywords, because basically what that shows is, again, if someone is spending money to advertise on that word and they've done it long term, then it's making money for them, and it tells you what words are profitable.
And Willie, I know you're in the chat room too, so maybe you could just go ahead and type that. Somebody wants to know the name of the program that you use to automatically upload the articles.
Okay, that's Easy and then, Click Button Traffic. Okay.
Yes. And then, thank you, Willie. And then the question I'm posing to both Dr. Blanchard and yourself, how do you choose an article or topic that people are interested in?
Well, what I do is I use my keywords in the title because I want the article to show up in the search engine. So I use the keyword, but I always put a promise of benefit in the title, basically. You know, I plug my keyword in somewhere, but I promise them a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I also do that too, and I always look at what are the issues that people are dealing with in their lives. One of the things, my philosophy is, don't sell what you want to sell. Sell what people want to buy. And if you look at what people want and need, and then you produce that, you'll always be wanted and needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at what are the issues that people are dealing with and what is it that people want, and I tailor what I want to share towards what they really want and what they really need. So because people are looking to fulfill their wants and needs rather than to entertain what you want to give.
That's right. So we have to solve. We have to focus on solving the problem.
Yes, you got to focus out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask Willie something too.
Yes.
About Wikipedia. Do you use Wikipedia? Because I think Wikipedia might be another way for people to get traffic to themselves by coining phrases and so forth. Have you had much experience with that, Willie?
I don't use it myself, but I have several students who do, and it is very powerful. It's just that with the wiki, anyone can go in and add comments and edit and things like that. And, yes, I don't use it, but I recommend it. It does work. It's very powerful. There's lots of tools out there that are very powerful. As far as getting links pointing back to you, I've actually discovered that one of the most powerful tools in my inventory is the Blog Talk Radio platform. When I write an article, I actually go over to my blog on the show platform and post that article. and within an hour, it's in the search engines, and I can type in words from the title and see it in the search engines on the front page of Google. That's how powerful this platform is.
Yeah. You know, I just want to add something here. Really, you are so right, because the other a couple of weeks ago, one of my past students, I trained for the Commission on Children here, Parent Leadership Training Institute here in Connecticut. And one of my past students wrote an article in her local newspaper in her town. And somebody emailed me the article. I read it. And then I went on the website for the newspaper, and I made a comment there. And you know, a couple of days after that, I was on Google, and
yeah,
it was there. So I'm sharing this to tell people, never lose an opportunity to utilize something. Because one of the things that works for me amazing here is the free press and the media. Any opportunity you get to be in there, be there, because it helps me to build credibility.
The thing about, I mentioned I use press releases, that there's two reasons you can use press releases. One is for search engine optimization, so you submit to a press release site and it shows up in the search engine. The other one is you actually want the media to contact you at times. And when you get an interview in a newspaper, a magazine, on a radio station, or TV, that is probably 100 times more powerful than if you purchased advertisement in that same magazine. And the reason is, first of all, advertising in some magazines can be very expensive, but when the editor writes you up in that magazine or that newspaper, they're endorsing you. They're saying to their listeners, their readers, this is someone you should listen to. And that's much more powerful than you buying an advertisement where the reader looks at it and says, and recognizes it as a paid advertisement.
That's right. That's what I've experienced
absolutely
over the years. Yes. Yes, Dr. Blanchard.
I was going to say absolutely. Buying advertisement can be a very expensive proposition, and there's no real guarantee on the return on that. So, you know, I do that very carefully. But as you were just saying, Mr. Crawford, and you too, Daphne,
yes,
is take every opportunity you get and be on shows like this that we're on, and be on have people in TV stations or radio stations want to interview you or want to talk to you about something that you wrote or something that you produced.
Yes.
Is a lot more mileage than just buying advertisement flat out. Check out whatever advertisement you're going to buy to make sure that, you know, you're going to have a return on that investment.
You know, I had a unique thing happen to me some time back. I went into town to drop my dry cleaning off, and we have a local paper next door to the dry cleaner. And I said, I'm going to stop in there and ask whether or not they would accept my articles for the newspaper. So I walked in, extended my hand to the editor, and I told him my name. And he said, you don't have to tell me your name. I watch you twice a week because I have a local cable TV show too. And he said, I just want to commend you on the wonderful job you're doing. I had no idea this person knew who I was. So it just paved the way for me to tell him what I came for. And he said, most certainly, get them into me, and I'll be more than happy to use them. So, you know, this is just an affirmation to say, go out there, get involved in doing stuff. If you're volunteering at some place, you know, let the rest of the world know you're doing that, and it shows that you are giving back to your community and helps you to build credibility.
And you know, we're talking credibility, which is off of the traffic generation, but I'm very active in my local chamber of commerce. I'm active in local civic groups, and I'm often introduced as the internet expert, and you'd be surprised at the number of very, very successful multimillionaire business people that practically trip over themselves to hand you their business cards, you know, when they find out who you are and your expertise.
Dr. Blanchard?
I wanted to just say that I'm going to be signing off in a little bit, and it's just a pleasure to be with you, Daphne, on your show. And Willie, it is just a pleasure to listen to you.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. I learned quite a bit from listening to you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more communication, more contact with you. It's absolutely fabulous to just listen to some new ideas and also some validation of some points. So it's an absolute pleasure.
Before you go, Dr. Blanchard, would you please give your contact information for me?
Yes, easy to contact me through www.rayblanchard.com. RayBlanchard.com. Easy way to find me.
Okay.
And also through you, Daphne.
Thank you so much, and we'll be talking.
Yes, we will. And I'm sorry, I need to sign off. I have another appointment, a coaching call that I'm doing this morning.
Yes.
And I'm about 5 minutes past my time.
Yes.
So I appreciate the opportunity. I wish everybody a happy new year. And as I said, believe in the possibilities.
Thank you.
And put yourself completely behind your dream and go for it with all your heart.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, and have a happy new year.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Willie.
Bye, Dr. Blanchard.
Okay, Willie, so it's you and I, because I haven't seen the other two ladies turn up yet, so something must have happened because they had confirmed that they were going to be here. But
you know, I hosted a show yesterday where the guest suggested a time for the show, even, and he was late. And what happened was he confused the time zone.
I sent it again because I know you're a stickler to that. You always tell me what time zone, so. I sent it out this morning, again, Eastern Standard Time. I sent it last night and everything. So something must have happened, you know? Life happens.
Yes, it does.
And that's all right, too. So we'll continue. And would you please continue with traffic, Willie, if you have more stuff you want to add?
Absolutely. One of the best ways to generate traffic is to actually set up your own affiliate program. And what you're doing there is basically you're putting a product online, letting other people sell it, and when they make a sale, you're paying them a percentage commission. The beauty of that is you only pay them when you make a sale. There's other methods for generating website traffic where you pay for, like, pay-per-click, where you pay for every click, and there's no guarantee you'll get any money from that. But if you're only paying when they make a sale, you can't lose. Theoretically, you wouldn't be making those sales otherwise, because if someone sends an email out to their list, there's a chance. The chances are that the people on their list aren't on your list, and you would not be in contact with them. So those are new sales, and you're just paying for when they make a sale. Now, a lot of people will say, "Well, I don't have a product." I say, "Well, create one," and they're easy. I mean, I last year I probably created 30 products. A lot of them were interview products. One of my best-selling products is a soul food cookbook.
I still have to get that.
And all I did was just write the recipes that I learned while growing up on the farm and put out a cookbook. So I got together with two other cookbook authors, and I said, why don't we create a product on how to write a cookbook? Mm-hmm. Lots of people wanted to put together a family cookbook or church cookbook or whatever. And so I get two other people on the phone, and we just talk for about 2 hours. We made outlines, but we talked for 2 hours on how to write a cookbook. We had it transcribed, and I put up a website on how to write a cookbook, and that's been selling steadily for about 3 years now. That's how difficult it can be to create a product. You just interview an expert or something, and then you let other people sell your product. There's also what's called private label rights products out there, which is where, say it's an ebook, someone else has already done the research on a topic, you know, how to grow prized orchids or whatever, how to raise high-achieving children or whatever. Someone has done the research, and they've written this report, and they sell you what's called private label rights, which means you have permission to go in and edit it and change it and give it your own title and call it your own product. It is your own product.
That's right.
I mean, you could theoretically publish it as is, but that would be sort of dumb because they often sell it to more than one person, and you don't want your book to read exactly like someone else's. But if you don't know anything about, raising cats, and you want to do a book on cats, then you can find products already written where you can go in, edit it to make sure, you know, look for things that don't make sense to you or better ways to word things.
Right.
Give it a new title and roll it out. It can be that easy to create a product. And then you set up an affiliate program where basically you let other people sign up to sell your product and you pay them a commission. And what they're doing is they're sending you free website traffic. They're doing all the work. They're, and instead of you sitting there thinking, what can I do to get more visitors to my website? They're sitting there thinking, how can I get more visitors to his or her website? They're doing all the hard thinking, all the work, and just sending you traffic business. And what they're also doing is they're building your database, because as they send over those people who buy, your system will capture them as paying customers, and so you can go back to those people later on and offer them other products. So now you've built a list. You've built a very powerful asset, because you can email that list anytime and tell them about new products, new services that you have, or just remind them of something, and they'll come back to your site. So an email list is a very powerful way to bring people back to your site, too. That's one of my favorite ways of generating traffic, though. It's just with an affiliate program. And I go as far as to, I create products just to generate traffic. And so I have affiliate programs where I pay 100% commission on the first sale. Because I know I'm competing against other people trying to get those same affiliates to promote their products.
Right.
And I have affiliate programs that pay instant commission. So as soon as the sale is made, the money shows up in their PayPal account. I do that because there are people who have cash flow issues. You
That's
know,
right.
Their house payments due now, the car payments due
That's
now.
Right. That's
and they don't
right.
want to wait 30 days, 60 days
That's
for it.
That's right. That's
Very
right.
powerful.
That's right. Willie, how does one monetize your followers, your Twitter, your Facebook, your followers on the show, all of those? How do we turn them into money?
You need to, for a lot of these platforms, you need to get them onto a list first. For example, I make sales directly off Twitter all the time, but it's more difficult because people are on Twitter and Facebook to be social and you know, to chit-chat a lot of times. Type A personalities, like many of my friends, you know, just want to go there and post a link saying, buy this. That doesn't work as well as posting a link saying that you've just updated your blog or something, and on the blog, engage them more. You know, on Twitter, you've only got 140 characters. You can't say much in 140 characters. So instead, you say, I've just made a new blog post on this topic, and you include a link to your blog post. Okay, now they go over to your blog, and you can say as much as you want. You can engage them. You can explain. And then you can say, and by the way, I saw this product that I just finished reading this product or using this product, and I really liked it, and you can recommend it that way.
Okay.
Once you draw them off Twitter, off Facebook, onto your blog, you can have a subscribe form where you get them into your database. You know, join my list to stay updated on whatever, get valuable tips on this topic, and now you're building a database.
Okay.
As far as the Blog Talk Radio platform, I typically do interviews like this, and I have them transcribed, and I offer those PDF transcripts. And a lot of times I will, in the front or the back, just put an extra page that recommends a product or service I'm selling, if nothing else. That's another way of doing it. I mean, you take this content, which your listeners will agree is valuable, and you just have it transcribed, which costs a little, and turn it into a PDF, and then you post, download the free PDF. And so they don't have to even come back to your site anymore after that. They can just read the PDF, and you recommend, you know, whatever product or service you recommend.
Yeah, I'm so thankful, Willie, for all of what you and Ray had shared here, because, man, I've had a TV show going 6.5 years or something. I am not short of content. I mean, I got stuff. I just need to know how to convert them now. And as a matter of fact, I discover a way that I stock up my tweets. For my Twitter,
right,
and I set them up to go out automatically. So ever since I've been on Twitter, I have not sold anybody anything. I kept on adding value to their lives and, you know, building. But I remember in a conversation you and I had on the telephone about how to create content. So what I did, all my tweets, I have them saved on my hard drive.
Okay.
Before you and I had that conversation, I would have deleted them. But I'm looking, I said, these tweets will be part of my book and they will be part of something else that I'm doing. So this is real good Harvard stuff that you are giving us here, Willie, and we thank you for that. We only have 15 minutes remaining, Willie. I would like for you to give out your information because I know you have a joint venture training school as well.
Yes, I actually am a part of a group that trains in joint ventures, and that's at thejvuniversity.com. That's thejvuniversity.com. I also have a website for people who maybe want to go out and find affiliates or JV partners, and it's a database, really. The site is at the International Association of Joint Venture Brokers, and it's abbreviated. If they go to the abbreviation, IAJVB.org, and I'll type that into the chat room.
Yeah, please. You type much faster than I do.
It's IAJVB.org, International Association of Joint Venture Brokers. If they go to IAJVB.org, they can actually get a free membership. There's several levels of membership, but one is free. And what it does is it lets you look through the database for upcoming product launches, but at the second level of membership, which is a paid membership, you actually get to list your product launches, your products in the database, so other people looking for things to sell can find you. And there's actually a third level of membership, which is for joint venture brokers, where a broker is someone who goes out and finds joint venture partners and affiliates for a product owner. Joint venture brokers are actually allowed to broadcast to appropriate sections of the database new product launches. And so it's a very powerful system, and it's one that I actually created about 4 years ago because I saw a need for it. And so it's very powerful.
When is your next joint venture school coming up? Do you have any date on any of that yet?
We don't have a date on the next one yet. I'm actually supposed to talk to my partners today.
All right. So people, they have the information and they can keep watching the websites and they will see when that is coming up.
They can also contact me directly. I have a help desk that doesn't require any type of registration or anything, but they can leave notes for me there, and if it's indicated for me, I'll get it. I have a staff that takes care of, you know, little problems, but if it's intended for me, I'll get it. And so it would be at williecrawford.com/helpdesk. That's williecrawford.com/helpdesk.
Question for you, Willie. Do you recommend clickbank.com? As legit affiliate sites?
Yes, ClickBank is very legitimate. They I forget how many millions of dollars a year in transactions they process. What ClickBank does is lets people with digital products go over and list their products in the database. These people have to pay $50 to set up an account, and they list a web page that's their sales page, and they list the web page that's the page the customers go to download the product after it's paid for. ClickBank checks out the sales page and the download page, and then ClickBank approves the product to be listed in their database. ClickBank collects the money and pays the affiliate who made the sale and pays the product owner. It's a third party processor for people who don't have merchant accounts, who are maybe even in countries where they can't get merchant accounts. It just lets people sell their products.
Okay. All right. So any more question? We are winding down from the chat room. So if there's any more question, get them coming in quickly. And we have 11 minutes remaining. Willie, how would you love to summarize?
I would summarize by saying on the joint venture side that you can do so much more if you work with other people. If you're trying to build an online business and you're just trying to do it all by yourself, you're not going to get very far. You may, but Most of us don't have the talent to do everything, and so it makes sense to me just to leverage other people's skills, work with them, make the pie bigger, and everybody gets a bigger piece of the pie. But you have to take something to the table. So if you are bringing a product, it has to be a high-quality product, one that puts the customer's best interest at heart, and also has to ask what's in it for me, for your potential partner. You know, why would they want to work with you? What do you offer that others can't offer? You have to answer those types of questions. And then you just don't be afraid to go out and seek joint ventures. Approach people about doing things with you. Fear stops a lot of people, too. On the traffic side, getting visitors to your website is all about putting as many links out there in cyberspace as possible. And so I'm big on content distribution, on putting articles and press releases and videos and podcasts. And I have quite literally millions of links pointing to my website. And so I get an endless supply of traffic. But I've been at it for almost 13 years now, or around 13 years. And so it's just I've written so many articles, and I've got so many videos out there under numerous accounts that I don't have to really work for my traffic anymore. Now, when I talked earlier about article writing, you need to realize that in certain niches, you need to create quite a bit of content at first, because if you're trying to brand yourself as an expert, you can't just write one article and expect that people to read that and flood your site. They need to read lots of things that you've written, so they can say, wow, this person, they've written all this stuff, so they must be an expert on this topic. And that helps you also to break through and rank higher in the search engines. If you get into a really competitive niche, you may have to write 100 articles just to get noticed, break out of the pack.
But after you do that, then you're going to be right up there, high rank with everybody else.
Right.
It's just like a relationship, and just like when we start business, people want to see how long you're going to be around.
Right.
You know, they don't want to get connected and then all of a sudden you're gone. So,
it makes perfect sense.
That's right. All right, I'm checking the chat room one more time. Willie, I didn't see any more questions, but I just want to thank you for investing not only in me but also in my listeners. And I have a vision conference that is coming up April the 22nd through the 25th. And it's going to be held here in Connecticut. And you and I are going to talk about that, Willie, to see, how we can add value to each other. In that, I want to wish you and pray for your continued success and wish you a powerful 2020 and beyond. And just thank you for the investment that you put into entrepreneurs and small business people. You are a phenomenal role model for each and every one of us. And I'm speaking for the people in the chat room as well. And with that being said, Willie, I want to give you an opportunity for a closing thought.
My closing thought will be, as Dr. Blanchard mentioned, it's normal to be afraid of making mistakes, afraid of what people might say about you, afraid of all kinds of things, yet you have to take action in spite of your fears. You'll never have a perfect plan. You'll never have perfect information, and so there's risk in doing business. Just do it anyway. Be willing to take some risk, and that's what it takes to have a successful business.
Okay. Thank you, Willie. Thank you so much. And thank the people in the chat room. And someone in there was asking if the conference is on the website. Not yet. It's coming up. We are working on that as we speak. So prayerfully, by the end of the first week in January, we are going to have everything up. Willie, I look forward to learning a lot more from you in this coming year, and I look forward to our relationship blossoming.
I do too. I certainly do too.
Okay. And I thank all the listeners We still have 5 minutes remaining. So if anybody have a last-minute question, Mr. Crawford is still here. He's in the chat room. I want you all to show him all your love. And if anybody have a last-minute question, this is the time to ask it. I look forward to each of us blossoming in 2010 and beyond. And next year, 2010, on the day before the last day, when we get back together, I look forward to all the testimonies and feedback about what this special episode with my two amazing experts have done for your career. I always tell you that you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. You got all the affirmation today. You were created for greatness, and you need to find the people that will enhance and embrace your vision and your mission. Get a tunnel vision. Don't be afraid. You do not need a plan B. Put all your focus and emphasis on your plan A, and you will be amazing. You will accomplish all the success and prosperity that God created you for. I love each and every one of you, and I look forward to meeting you personally at the Vision Conference, and for us all to be working together to change our world by transforming one life at a time. Happy New Year to you, and may 2010 be your most prosperous year. Love you and follow your destiny.
Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Oh, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch Him right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise.